Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
This morning, I want to just minister a word that just reminds us why Jesus was sent to earth. Why Jesus was sent to earth. We recognize baby Jesus will be coming king. But why was he sent to earth? I'm going to open with a story that always comes back to my mind. When I used to travel full-time for missionary work and evangelistic work, I went to many different countries, and I had to go into a place called Irian Jaya, Indonesia, which Indonesia is made up of many, many, many small islands. And we had an issue there with a Bible college that was there at that time, and just quite an uprising, and the national office asked if I'd go in with a team and if we would just do a week of intercessory prayer, because these were strongholds that had to be broken and there was no other way around it, but strongholds had to be broken. So we set out on this trip with a team that I had, and there was going to be 7 airports that we had to go through to get to that final stop. And calculating the trip, because the first trip was 15 hours, then there's 5 hours and 3 hours, and it just kept on going, and you're staying in different airports, 4, 5 hours, 8 hours. So I prepared multiple layers of things to make the trip happen, because I had not done any like that before, but I had done multiple trips, so I kind of knew you've got to stage in your mind the different layers, or else it just becomes overwhelming. So we got to about the 4th airport, and of course there's, as I said, waits between the airport, and my team started to fall apart. I can't do this anymore. When are we going to get there? And I'm like, okay, so I have games that we played, and I had brought different little games, you know, and I would like, okay, we're going to play games, because I told them, bring books, we're going to read, and all of this stuff, and you can't read after the second day, your mind is done. So I pulled out the games, and we're playing games. Made it through airport number 4. We got to airport number 5, and the team's like, okay, Pastor, we're going to have to stop here because I can't go up anymore. One member is like, I can't go up anymore. So I said, okay, we only got like 2 more. Just we're almost there. But they just couldn't handle the many different layers in between waiting to arrive. And so we made it through that one with duress and prayer. And by this time, you even become prayerless. Does anyone understand that? Like, I couldn't say, let's pray anymore, because they're like, we prayed out. You know, just ask God to help us get there now. So we're now finally at airport number 6, and the team is undone. And I had brought snacks that was going to be for when we arrive at Airport 7, which is a small island, and there is nothing at the airport, and we've been traveling for days, so I brought snacks to be for our breakfast, because the little planes don't give you anything. And I'm hiding the snacks in my carry-on, because when we arrive, I hadn't told them that we then have to drive a couple of hours. So I'm holding on to the snacks, and one of my team members cracked, give me my snack. And I said, can you wait a little bit longer? And I remember the face, I need my snack now. As I was writing this message, this story came back, because there are times in our lives we're waiting and we get to the point we just feel we can't go on anymore, waiting for Christ to come and do what Christ said he's going to do or even waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, many of us have forgotten. That's what it's all about. Let me just read the Advent season completely as the students have read today. December 1st, we started our first Advent reading on hope. Isaiah 9, verse 2, the people walk in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there'll be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. December 8th, it's a preparation, hope, then preparation. Isaiah 40, 3 to 5, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground will become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. December 15th is joy. Isaiah 12, verse 2, see, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and song. He has given me victory. With joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name. Tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. Let all the people of Jerusalem shout his praise with joy. For great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. And Maximus just read today's, which is love. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to the ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager, eager to do what is good. Hope, preparation, joy, love. Doesn't matter what Sunday it came. What matters is this is what this season is all about. Why did Jesus come to earth? This Christmas season, it's about the story of Jesus' birth, which is so very intriguing and timeless. Yet many parents proudly, joyfully tell the story of the fabled Santa Claus coming down the chimney and the houses and the condos. And Santa Claus' story is told boldly, while the Christ child's story is told reluctantly, even nonchalantly or sometimes not at all without any apology. And Christ's birth story is the story. I recognize that even as I share this today, some parents might be very upset that I mentioned that Santa Claus is not real, but Jesus is real. I cannot apologize for saying Santa Claus is not real, but I will apologize that we sometimes make it seem as if Jesus is not real. The kids await Santa to come, but we've not taught them to await Christ who is to come. Interestingly, how waiting for a sudden appearance is taken away from the Christ child story and has become a secular Christian narrative. Christmas narrative. It's taken away. Where is the suddenly waiting? Do you realize where that came from? It came from the Advent story, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. And we know that in this decade, the focus is on Santa Claus is coming to town. Hey, come on, we all sing it. I did it, didn't you? Better watch out. You better not cry. You better watch out. I'm not singing. Santa Claus is coming to town. And it became the narrative. But we don't sing, Jesus Christ is coming again. So why was baby Jesus sent to earth? Let me read my text today from Mark chapter 13, verse 1 to 13 and verse 26 to 37. Allow me to read the passage. It speaks about the future, why we wait, while we watch, while we have anticipation, while we have preparation. Mark chapter 13. As Jesus was leaving the temple that day, one of his disciples said, "Teacher, look at these magnificent buildings. Look at the impressive stones in the walls." Jesus replied, "Yes, look at these great buildings, but they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives across the valley from the temple. Peter, James, John, Andrew came to him privately and asked him, "Tell us, when will all this appear? What sign will show us that these things are about to be fulfilled?" And Jesus replied, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be earthquakes in many parts of the earth as well as famines. But this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come." Ushers, if you could just help us out a little. "When these things begin to happen, watch out. You will be handed over to the local councils and beaten in the synagogues." Just stay with me. "You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. For the good news must first be preached to all nations. But when you are arrested and stand trial, don't worry in advance about what to say. Just say what God tells you at that time, for it is not for you. It is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. A brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. Children will rebel against their parents, cause them to be killed. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Verse 26. "Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send out his angels to gather his chosen ones from all over the world. From the farthest ends of the earth and heaven," online, "from the farthest ends of the earth, God is going to gather his people. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When it branches, bud, leaves, it begins to sprout, you know the summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things taking place, you know that his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene before all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one," verse 32, "no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard, stay alert. The coming of the Son of Man can be illustrative of a story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his slaves instructions about the work they were to do. And he told the gatekeeper, watch for his return. You too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return, in the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I say to you what I say to everyone, watch for him." Is that a powerful word? Folks, this is why Christ came. This is what Christmas story is all about. And I want each one of us to remember he could come at Christmas. Sometimes we act as if, okay, if I could just get through Christmas, God. Are you prepared if he comes at Christmas? Because it's a spiritual preparation, not just a gift preparation or meal preparation or house preparation or guest preparation. It is a Christ awaiting preparation. These are some of our unignorable warnings. Our unignorable warnings comes in this book of Mark 13 story, which has some interesting parallels that we sometimes forget to consider when enjoying the Christmas season. How often we forget that the purpose of Jesus coming as a baby was to prepare for his death and his resurrection. The purpose of the resurrection was to prepare a way for us to go to where? Let's read that together, because some of you forgot where we're going. It's like I said, my team on the trip, after a while, they didn't care where we were going. They just wanted, I'll stay right here, Pastor. The purpose of Jesus coming as a baby, read this, was to prepare for his death and his resurrection. The purpose of Christ's resurrection was to prepare a way for us to go to heaven. That is what you put out on your story today, to remind all those 1,000 friends the purpose of this Christmas season. Because many have forgotten, we've made the purpose the tangible things that we do, the materialistic or the practical home things we do. We forgot this is the entire purpose of the Christmas story and the Christmas season. And so, this is what Advent is about. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. The true story about Jesus coming in a cradle as a baby is about the preparation for a heavenly destination. And we sometimes exist as a society watching and waiting for everything else, but we're not watching and waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come quickly. The prophets watched, the shepherds waited, the wise men followed. We have every example that Christ, the baby, was prophesied, fulfilled, and his words is still yet forevermore. So Jesus came as a baby to demonstrate to humanity that one day we can all go to heaven to be with God our Father. That's what Matthew, Mark, Luke, all the Gospels, that's what it highlights to us. Friends, every person wants to go to heaven online. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but there's a way to heaven. It's not purchasable. It's not whimsical. It's not wishful. It is very practical. We accept the Lord Jesus Christ, who came as a baby and who died and rose and went to heaven. We accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. And then he begins to prepare the way for us as we walk in the way of Christ. And that's the road to heaven. If heaven could be bought, billionaires would have a seat. You can buy everything else in the world today, but you cannot buy a seat in heaven. Oh, God, praise God this morning. So here's the humanity of the baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible tells us, for us unto us a child is born. This was a declaration of Christ's messiahship. Joseph, God's chosen along with Virgin Mary, was told by the angel Gabriel, name this child Jesus, which means the Lord saves. The name Jesus describes the reason for his coming to earth. He would save us from our sin, from the grips and the power of Satan, from the enemy of God, which is the devil himself, and he would preserve our souls, our Lord Jesus Christ, because we acknowledge him as Savior. And then the other name given to him was, as the prophet said, he will be Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23 declares it. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Not God who left us. Not God that you have to carry yourself. Not God that you have to build. Not God that you have to pick up. But God with us. Do you imagine that he made, when we acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, he makes his habitation in us? Don't you feel sometimes undeserving, unworthy? But he says, but I made a way for you because he is God with you. I'm baffled at how God became man to reach us. Why would he do such an odd thing? He could have done it many other ways. But he sent, God the Father sent God the Son so he would understand human pain because he experienced it. He understands everything we could go through. Do you realize that in his humanity, his own family line, John the Baptist was beheaded, murdered by the evilest man on earth. And he was there in flesh, feeling the pain of a cousin who was the greatest prophet being beheaded. And so he says, whatever you're going through, I've felt your pain. That's why he came as flesh. So we couldn't say the flesh that God made has different things that God doesn't understand. He said Jesus was there. He confronts our fears and he overcomes them. The fears in Matthew chapter 4 where the devil says, hey, throw yourself down and you will be great. Come down. And he says, oh yeah, you want to intimidate me. You want me to be tempted to do something foolish because I fear what is ahead. Because you see, the devil was saying, I know the cross is coming. And even when he got to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But he said, Father, if the cup could pass from me, take it. Why? Because he feared what was ahead. But so he knows that whatever you fear, he's already been through it. Have you had to go through what Jesus went through? No. So he's gone through more than we could ever imagine. And he did it so that we could understand whatever you're faced with, he's already been there. He faced every temptation. So he's not a distant ruler. He's not an abandoned ruler who's not a ruler who's abandoned his people, causing us to be disillusioned when things happen. He says, I'm still with you. Whatever is going on, I'm there. That is the humanity of the baby Jesus. Then there's the divinity of the baby, the Savior of the world. Bible says a son will be given to us. That's the deity. Paul says in Galatians 4, but when the right time came, God sent his son born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Some 8 days after Jesus' birth, his parents took him to the temple to be circumcised. His parents took him to be subjected to the law so that he would fulfill the law. And later on, he completely fulfilled that law. So Jesus was not just any son, but he was the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father sent him, spoke through him, used him. And he represents the Godhead. But as he stayed on earth, his divinity was declared in John 3:16, where it says, for this is my beloved son in whom, Matthew 3:17, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. But then he says, but this is what I came for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever will not perish, shall not perish, don't have to perish, but can have eternal life. Wow. Humanity, thank you. Divinity. So the sovereign birth of this child, Jesus, is a gift of God to the world. The sovereign birth of Jesus Christ is a gift of God to the world, to you, to me, to others, online, overflow, wherever you are, the gift of God. God incarnate, the expected king, was both human and divine. He was God-man, and the attributes of God and the characteristics of man were both upon him. So there's nothing for us to fear or to falter in, because even when we don't understand it, we can still trust that God has it covered. We don't get it. It's painful. It's hard. It's difficult. But God, Jesus Christ says, yeah, but I'm not just some deity. I'm the deity who became humanity. I get it. I get it. And so, folks, I love that at Christmas we get to remind ourselves why Jesus was sent to earth. Baby Jesus came to becoming king. That's who we're serving. Over this Christmas season, doesn't matter what everyone else is doing, season in your heart. Lord, if you were to come tomorrow, come today, come Christmas Day, come Boxing Day, come New Year's Day, I'm ready. Anybody with me this morning? So I want to share with us why Christ came to help us make it to heaven. And the thoughts that he leaves us, as the writer of Mark tells us, there's 6 points of caution that we must be wise to while we await heaven. Heaven is our destination. Heaven must be our home. Heaven is not compromisable. And I told you, heaven cannot be purchased. It's only one way to heaven, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. 6 points I want to share this morning. Mark chapter 13 points these cautions as we wait for the Savior's return. As we wait. Number one, deception is coming, so do not be led astray. In Mark 13, verse 1 to 8, it says, don't be caught up with the pretenses of earthly significance. The disciples were admiring buildings and all these things, and Jesus pointed out to them, that is not heavenly significance, because great deception is coming, so don't be lured by the things you're seeing. Don't even be jealous for all that you see others having. But be very focused on the fact that some of these things is to distract and lead people astray. So whatever God has for you, receive what God sent to us. The greatest gift he sent to us is his peace. His peace. Does everyone with billions have peace? Does everyone with millions have peace? Does everyone in poverty have peace? No. Peace comes from just having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter the high end of your opulence or the low end of poverty, peace comes only through one means, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have billions and you have the peace of God, there's joy in having it, because there's joy in doing whatever God says to do with it. And when you have nothing at all, and you have peace with God, I've seen it in nations that are not as opulent as Canada. I've seen it in third world impoverished nations where the happiest people are people in poverty because they just wake up and thank God for the gift of life. I've seen young people, dance and sing and shout and praise God. And they didn't have all the trinkets, didn't even have all the wardrobe of clothes. But what they had, they recognized who gave it to them, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace comes from having the contentment of knowing who Christ is in you. Do you know what we're missing? Contentment. And that's not just the young people, adults. I've seen more people, nothing pleases. Nothing is enough. You could get, God could give you everything you're asking and you would never be content, because contentment is an issue of the heart. Are you with me this morning? Satan will deceive many. Those who do not know the word of God personally will be easily manipulated and deceived. Easily. Nations and kingdoms will fight each other. We're already seeing that daily. These are the evidences of a broken world. So the Mark chapter 13, verse 1 to 8 says, deception is coming, do not be led astray. I'm always shocked when a Christian says to me, can you believe what's going on in the world? Can you believe you didn't read your Bible? Because the more I read it, the more I'm prepared. I'm not in agreement with what's happening, but I know God is still in control. Second point, persecution can be expected, but do not be anxious. The signs of the times are unchangeable. People, especially Christians, will be persecuted. But way before the time began, God already prepared a plan and Jesus fulfilled it. He says, you don't even have to worry about what to say. I will be there. Why? Holy Spirit in you will tell you what to say. Do you know that right here, I'm going to say this. There's a lot of people saying, I'm being persecuted, I'm being persecuted. Could you please stop it? No, in the name of Jesus, would you stop it? Persecution is coming. Do you want to know what persecution is? Go to some of the nations where they're being persecuted for their faith. These are light and momentary troubles. And when we don't see it for what it is, when persecution comes, we will give in to the devil. But we've got to separate light and momentary trials from we're being persecuted as Christians. No. Nations in many countries, Christians can tell you what persecution is, where they can't get a job, where they're beaten, where their churches are burned, where their children are taken away, that where they're killed for their faith. We are in light and momentary. But here's what the Bible tells us in Mark. It must be expected, but don't get anxious. So my word to you today is, as you prepare for the coming of Christ, prepare for what the word says will happen. These things will come. But as you trust God in the light and momentary things, you know what will happen? You'll become stronger in the bigger things. Ever wondered why people get persecuted and they still hold on to faith? Because they did not convince themselves in the light and momentary trials that that was persecution. So they took it and they trusted God. 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 So when the persecution came, they still trusted God. And God delivers. Tribulations, and number three, can be intense. So be on your guard. Mark 13, 14 to 23. It says here, families will be divided. Do you know Christmas time is a great divide for many families? Weddings and Christmas. The two happy occasions. It's a lonely time of year for many people. Do you realize that? Many people are hurting from loneliness and abandonment at Christian time, at Christmas time. And people, the Bible says, will betray each other. There'll be fightings and cheating, neglect, false arguments, intentional lying, negative thinking, false accusations, anger, and many such things. People will compromise love for self-satisfaction. There'll be great amounts of despairing and loss of faith by those who do not know the word of God. Friends, we've got to get to know the word, for the word of the Lord is truth. And truth comes only in Jesus Christ. The truth and God are one. So be careful as we prepare in these seasons. I could sense this morning many of you going, Pastor, is this a Christmas message? Best one you ever heard. Number four, Jesus will come again to gather his people, Mark 13, 24 to 7. Although we don't know the exact moment, we do know that with certainty Jesus will come soon. So we must always and continuously be on alert. Therefore, whatever we do for God, whatever we do for others, don't do it in vain and don't do it for self. Do it so that God sees your heart and knows your intention. Whatever we do, I'm going to press on this a little bit. Church, I love being a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm abandoned to what I do because I'm abandoned to the word of God. And I want to say to you, it doesn't matter who you are. If what you do is to make yourself only be satisfied, then you are not fulfilling the word of God. Because there are times God will ask of us what we don't want to do. But that's how God uses us, to be a blessing in the nation that he has placed us. Wherever you are in the world, this is for you today. Amen. So here, Jesus, he will come and gather his people again. What does that mean? Expectation should be restored in the hearts of those who really love the baby Jesus. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's got to be a sense of expectation. Jesus is coming again. He came as a baby. They waited for him. They were excited. That's why we sing Joy to the World. That's why we dance and shout. Did anybody turn their music on all weekend? I love Christmas music. I just keep that. Thank God for YouTube. Not everything we love about it, and in the future we may fear it. But right now, it plays my Christian. And they have some that run for like 3 hours. Then you just hit the button. And if you want a little quick tip, if you're going out the house, don't even turn it off. Just hit the button again, and then it'll run again. Because then they're going to have that sign, are you still there? And you're like, would you quit asking me that? And just roll the tape. Just roll. Anybody with me? Expectation. Number five. Jesus is coming again and the time is near, Mark 13, 28. Israel awaited for the coming Messiah, but many gave up looking. Therefore, many disbelieved when he came humbly as a baby. This is very important. Here is what the entire prophetic word of God Okay, throughout the prophet's writings in the Bible, it says the Messiah is coming. They knew the book of Isaiah, but yet when the baby Jesus came in the cradle, they no longer believed because they had stopped looking, stopped waiting, stopped expecting. And so only the wise men who came all the way from the east and the shepherds, the humble shepherds in the field, they're the ones that got to rejoice with the angel when he did show up, because the religious people were too busy saying, "Is he coming?" Can I tell you, get ready to be rejoicing and begin to see the miracles of God and the moments of God. Everybody's got to pray, "God, show me the moments. Show me the moments, God." Such a story is here in the book of Mark, where Simeon the prophet and Anna the prophetess, they believed the prophecy and they looked and they waited. And after the shepherds saw and after all that had happened, the Bible says when he came into the temple, Simeon said, "I've seen the glory of God." That's how we need to be waiting. And the last point is this: Jesus is coming. Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, you better watch out. You better not. We all grew up on it. And I don't say to stop singing it. The kids, it's a jingle. It's a jingle. We're okay. God's not going to strike you for a jingle. But we need to remember something. It's just a jingle. Jesus, though, is coming. And any of you that have any issues with my saying Santa ain't real and Santa ain't coming down the chimney, I'll come over to your house and wait next year to see if he's coming down your chimney. But while I say that, remember this. Only God the Father knows when. I don't want to be left because I stopped watching, waiting. This is the exciting part. The entire world this week will be celebrating the birth of Christ, but not all who celebrate believe in Christ. But when Christ comes a second time, those who believe will be able to join him, not in the stable. We're not joining Jesus in the stable this time. The wise men traveled afar, and they came to the stable where the star stopped. The shepherds came, and they were able to celebrate. We're not looking for Jesus in the stable now. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He'll be coming in the clouds, the glory of God. So Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the sent Savior of the world, is coming soon. So let me just recap as the worship team comes. 6 points of caution while we wait heaven. Deception is coming. Do not be led astray. Persecution can be expected. Do not be anxious. Tribulations can be intense. So be on your guard. Jesus will come again to gather his people. He's coming again, and the time is near. He's coming, but only God the Father knows when. Friends, this is the Christmas story. This, young people, is the Christmas story. And I want, if you got a camera, take a picture of it. Because you got to remind yourself, January 2nd, should the Lord tarry, that this is still the story. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. We're waiting. He's coming. When are we going to get there? We'll get there when we get there. When I had that team with me going through these 7 airports, I could tell by certain airports that they were disappointed they said yes. Seriously. I was exhausted, but I had to hold face and hold front. But I could tell, it was like, why did I say yes to this? I can't go up in that air one more time. And I struggle with ear infections. I can only go up and down so many times, but I had to push through. There are things in life you're going to have to push through. And hold your front, hold your face, hold your faith. Because others, in their time of disappointment, you got to hold them up. Because we're all humans. We're all humans. I had another team. We were going into Malawi, and I had a children's pastor going with me. The first leg of the journey was a 14-hour drive, the type of drive where we put our petrol in the back of the vehicle. So when we stop, we pour the petrol in, and we carry bananas and crackers and stuff. And then after that was going to be another 4-hour drive, and the last city is where we buy all of our groceries. So I had to buy bread, and we bought tons of bread, tons, because that's the last stop, and I had a team of 8. We had 2 vans. And so we got to this final city where they're making fresh bread, and we had the pastor up there order the bread, and we went in and we got the fresh bread from the bakery, and we loaded up our groceries and we loaded up the fresh bread in the back of the van. And there's nothing like fresh bread when you've been eating crackers and bananas and granola bars for 14 hours. And we're getting ready to pull out, and one of the team said, "Pastor, could we cut one of the bread?" I said, "No, because we're going to be there for a week, and the bread has to last for the week." And she said, "I don't know if I could make it with the smell, Pastor. You got to cut a bread." I said, we just have enough, and it's got quite a few of us, and the bread has to last. There's no food up there. You're going to have a lot more crackers and bananas, so let me bring the bread. We had to pull over about an hour in. Pastor, I love you. I need my bread. I need a piece of the bread. She was breaking up. And we pulled over, took a bread. We cut up the bread. Now, I knew one thing. If you give you a piece of the bread, you want what? More. So then I had to fight for 3 more hours not to cut more bread. This is coming to my altar time. My altar time is going to be sometimes the unexpected disappointments. So we got to our destination late at night, offloaded the van, tied up all the groceries, put them in bags, hung the breads up on, all kinds of little things you got to do because we were way deep in the villages. So we tied up the bread in bags, not breads that were, not where it could condense, but open kind of like airy bags that we bought, and we tied up in the ceiling of the kitchen, and everybody went to sleep. Woke up the next morning, they're happy because today they get porridge and bread. And so we went out and I heard a scream. It was earth-shattering. Heard a earth-shattering scream. Where's Milton's granddaughter? Milton was with us on that. I think Milton was with us. And so we all ran out, and that place had monkeys. For the Canadians who don't know why everybody said no, all the Canadians who didn't get the O, raise your hand. Let me see. Okay, y'all get. Them there monkeys are very smart, smarter than people. And the monkeys called in their family. And we were chasing monkeys with stones, still trying to get the bread back. And I'm like, if that bread drop, I'm still eating it. And then we're chasing the monkeys. Why is this important? Because we journeyed so long. We were so expectant. We were so tasting it. And then it was gone, that blessing that we thought was for today. And everybody was disappointed. And they were disappointed in me because I should have let them eat the bread. And I had to live through it as we ate oatmeal, bananas, and all sizes of crackers, and chima, fufu, and everything else all week. And I could feel the disappointment. There are times there's disappointments in our life as we're waiting for that thing, or that blessing, or that promise. But never give up. Never give up. As we close today, I want to speak to hearts. Online, wherever you are, listen to me. Jesus is coming. There's some times in our lives where we've been praying for so long, waiting for so long, looking for so long. Senior, some of you have been serving God so arduously. You've put everything in, and you're wondering, God, when? How? Why? But don't let the disappointment of this life cripple your expectation that Jesus is still coming, and soon.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.